What's interesting and exciting about that is that because there was no precedent beforehand, God had full reign to do whatever he wanted to in this realm. And that's what he decided a relationship was going to look like. That's what he decided what marriage was going to be. And so God brought them together, and the male-female relationship was established. And this wasn't a haphazard thing. It wasn't like God just didn't have anything better to do. No, God did that for a purpose. It was a holy union that God created. And God said, man shall leave his father and mother, and he should hold fast to his wife. So in Genesis, and I don't have a lot of time to go into super detail, but here's the thing. In Genesis, we learn three things about relationships right off the bat that's so important for us as we lay the foundation for where we're going. They're going to come up on the screen here. And it's this. The three ideas are this. God created relationships. That's a big thing we've got to know. Who created them? God did. God created relationships. They didn't just happen by like osmosis or something. God created relationships. Number two, this is a good one. Relationships are good. They're good. Relationships between guys and girls, they're a good thing. When God created, after every day that he created, what did he end? God would end the day by saying what? It is good, okay? And he said that after he brought Adam and Eve together. So relationships are good. Third thing, relationships, they're natural, okay? They're natural. It's natural that guys are kind of like girls, girls like guys. This might seem totally obvious to you. And you're thinking to yourself, I could have gotten that out of that. No, that's important that you know that. And it's important that we talk about it. Because here's the thing, you guys. I think that sometimes in church world, if you've been in church for a while, and I know many of you have, I think sometimes when you've been in church for a while, sometimes relationships, when it comes to high school, sort of have a stigma to them. Okay? I think that sometimes maybe as a student, you feel looked down on when you've liked someone, or maybe you've been made to feel awkward when it comes to relationships. Maybe you've had somebody in authority kind of mock you or make fun of you or just kind of like laugh you off a little bit when it comes to this. That could be a pastor, could be a mentor. Sometimes it can even be a parent at times. But I'm here to tell you this. I'm here to tell you that I'm sorry if that's happened to you. Okay, if that's been your experience in this realm, then I'm sorry. Because the Bible is pretty clear that what you desire, what you're feeling, all that kind of thing, it's totally normal and it's natural and it needs to be talked about, and you need to have a healthy understanding of relationships. I had a friend growing up, and this friend, his family had some very different views when it came to this kind of thing. Very, very different views. And it was something that was never really talked about, never addressed. When it would be brought up, it was kind of this like, you know, the thing that was never to be spoken of. And I'm here to tell you this, that it really damaged him hugely, okay? And even today, he suffers from those effects. He'd try to bring up the idea of dating or courting. Parents just shut it down, and he absolutely suffered because of this. So if you're a parent and you're listening to this recording, parents, this is for you. I encourage you to have a discussion with your students about this. I encourage you to realize that relationships are natural, normal, and to not turn your eye away from it. And parents who are listening, I just want to encourage you, it should be a conversation that's had before your student starts dating or courting. Because if you have the conversation beforehand, you can ward away a lot of issues that you'll have after the fact. Now back to you guys. If your parents have had conversations with you about relationships, and if you kind of know your family's rules on how that's supposed to go, then I would encourage you, even if you've had the conversation, during this series is a good time to refresh that. During this series is a good time to just re-up and just say, hey, you know, when it comes to dating and that kind of thing, and where are we at with that? Okay, that might seem kind of weird, it might seem kind of awkward, but I'm not here to call you guys to a low standard. I'm here to call you to a bit of a higher level, okay? And so, if you haven't talked with your parents about this for a while, it'd be a good time within this series to talk with them about it, to see where your parents stand, what your guys' rules are for that. If your parents have a rule that says that you have to be a certain age before you start dating and things like that, then follow that rule. That's a good rule. Okay, if your parents have a rule on the style, okay, if your parents say that you know, one-on-one dating is the way to go, well, good. If your parents say that that's not the way to go, that courting or doing it in groups is better, good. Follow that, all right? I'm not here to like put a stamp of approval on one style or another style. I'm just here to say that your parents are put in your life to guide you and to give, you know, to direct you, and they know you better than you know yourself sometimes. And so I want to encourage you during this series that as this stuff comes up, as you're talking about this, submit to what your parents say. Submit to what your parents' rules are. It's going to go so much better for you. God's going to honor that if you honor them, and he's going to give you great blessing in this area. Does that sound good? Good. Principle number two, God has boundaries for relationships. God has boundaries for relationships. Now, we talk about boundaries a lot. Parents give us boundaries, that kind of a thing. But God actually has boundaries. All throughout the Old Testament, we read all kinds of areas, all throughout Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all those kind of places, Deuteronomy, that God had boundaries for how he wanted the people to live. Okay? He had certain things they could do, certain things they couldn't do, and he was very serious about this needs to happen, this can't happen. Okay? You need to do this, don't do this. If you want some good reading material sometime, take a look at Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18. The entire chapter is dedicated to God setting specific standards for what was not appropriate when it came to sexual relationships for people. Okay, God has boundaries. There are things in relationships that God wants to happen, and there are things that God has in relationships that God does not want to happen in relationships, or he wants to happen at a later time. It's principle number two. For the third principle, we're going to move on in the Bible. We're going to move to the book of Judges and the book of 1 Kings, okay? And in Judges, first of all, we meet a guy named Samson, all right? Samson was a judge, and Samson ended up getting connected, I guess we'll say, sort of married, I guess-ish, to a lady named Delilah, okay? And Delilah was not the right person that he was supposed to be with, and Delilah ended up leading Samson way outside of where God wanted him to be. And then in 1 Kings, we read about a couple, Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel were a kingly couple, and they were powerful, and they were evil. And we get a glimpse into these couples. I'm just going to call them marriages. We get a glimpse into these couples' relationships and how together they actually committed great evil against God. Okay, Ahab and Jezebel killed prophets. They worshipped Baal. They were manipulators. Okay, Samson had a call on his life from God, and Delilah completely, having Delilah in his life completely derailed that, okay? And so there's some principles there when it comes to relationships. Here's the big idea. Relationships can help or they can hurt your walk with Jesus. Relationships can help or they can hurt your walk with Jesus. That is so important. In fact, if you haven't written that down, you need to write that down or you need to put it in your phone. Relationships can help or hurt your walk with Jesus. Now, if our relationship with Christ is the most important thing in our life, it's important that whoever we're in a relationship with, dating, courting, marriage, otherwise, it's so critical that that person is pushing us towards Christ and not away from him. Because the Bible shows us it can happen. Then, we move on in the Bible. See how we're going in order here? Okay, we've got Genesis, now we're in 1 Kings, Judges. Next book, Book of Ruth. The Book of Ruth is fun. We come to the story of Ruth and Boaz. And this is the first time that we get a more in-depth look at the origins of the relationship between a couple. And the story of Ruth and Boaz is a great love story between a woman whose husband dies, and Boaz is a man who redeems her and takes her as his wife. This story has got everything that a great chick flick has in it. All right, so when you read it, it's total love story. In fact, I wrote a theatrical trailer for it. Handsome, young, lovable, wealthy hero. Beautiful, charming, but lowly in status, damsel. Destiny is for them to be together. But there's a conflict. There's a kinsman redeemer that has first dibs to get her as his wife. What's going to happen? How will he fight to save her? Will they end up together? Dun, dun, dun. You want to watch that movie? That'd be a good movie to watch. So that's the Book of Ruth. And if my goofy trailer inspired you, go read the book. It's only 4 or 5 chapters. It's really short. So here we get a glimpse about relationships. Here's the big idea. Here's the big principle. God has his hand in relationships. God has his hand in relationships. You guys, God actually really does care about who you end up with. Okay? God cares about the relationships you're in high school. God cares about the relationships you're going to be in down the road. It's important that you remember that. God has his hand in relationships. Now, we move on into poetic literature. So now we're going to hit the book of Proverbs, okay? Now, the book of Proverbs gives us all throughout the book just wisdom concepts when it comes to guys and girls, wisdom concepts when it comes to relationships. I'm just going to throw a number of them out there, okay? Good and bad. Proverbs 12:4 says this, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. Proverbs 18:22 says this, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Now, as we read these, you're going to notice it's talking to males typically, so it's, you know, referring to wives. This can go both ways, you guys, okay? He who finds, or she who finds a husband finds what's good and receives favor from the Lord. So ladies, if you find a good husband, you're going to receive favor from the Lord, okay? It goes both ways here. Proverbs 5:18, may your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Maybe you rejoice in the husband of your youth. But we also read the following kinds of things, okay? So essentially, this is a celebration of relationship. Relationships are good. Let's celebrate it. It's really good. We also hear this kind of stuff. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. Or a quarrelsome husband is like a punch in the face, okay? Proverbs 12:4, a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Or a disgraceful husband is like a zit that needs to be popped. Paraphrase. Proverbs 25:24, better to live on the corner of the roof with than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Or better to live in a box than to share your bedroom with a quarrelsome man. Let's put that away. Sound good? So these verses, guys, these verses are speaking about the relationship between guys and girls, okay? And what do we learn about relationships from Proverbs? What's the big idea we can learn? Here's what it is. Relationships can bring great blessing in our life, but relationships can also bring great pain to our lives, okay? Relationships can bring great blessing. They can bring great pain. Now, relationships, even if they're good ones, will bring some pain at times, okay? It's not as though there's a guy or there's a girl out there who's going to, if you get them, things are going to be perfect from then on. That's not the case. But I will tell you this, the Bible does indicate that if you make wrong choices in this area, then you could really set yourself up for a whole lot of pain and a whole little blessing, okay? But if you go about it the right way, if you go about it in God's way, then you know what? You're going to get a whole lot of blessing and maybe a little bit less on the pain. Now, after that, we come to the climax, no pun intended on this, Song of Solomon, okay? Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is an entire book dedicated to sex. That's where the pun was. Nobody laughed. Now you get it? Okay. Golly, that's terrible. Parents listening, I am so sorry about that. Okay. The whole book is about the sexual relationship between a husband and wife. That's what the entire book is about. If you've ever read it before, it's pretty, wow, holy cow. Now, some people would say, some argue that the book is actually a picture of Christ's relationship with the church, okay? And there's probably an okay amount of evidence for that, but most people say, you know what, you could use it as a picture of Christ's relationship with the church, but really, you know what? It's a celebration of marriage. That's really what the book is about. And so that's what the entire book is dedicated to. So with Song of Solomon, what's the big picture idea we get? Here it is. God thinks that sex in the context of marriage is worth celebrating. And God says this. This is God's quote. Sex in marriage is worth celebrating. God said that. See the quote? We quoted him. He said that. So much so, he dedicated an entire book to the Bible of it. That's pretty cool, I would say. So guys, we're going to be talking about sexual purity throughout the entire series. We'll touch on it at different points, okay? And man, sex, when you talk about sex, it is just the most, it can be the most awkward, weird, goofy thing that you talk about. But guys, that's because it's been hijacked. And the whole concept has been misrepresented in culture, and it's become this weird thing. But In the beginning, God created it, and God celebrated it, and God thought, this is worth celebrating in the context of marriage. It's a great thing. And so, there you go. Now, moving on from Song of Solomon, we come to the book of Hosea. Hosea. Hosea is a prophetic book. It's a little tiny book in the Bible. Hosea, why would you bring that up? Hosea is a prophetic book where God is trying to communicate with the Israelite people that he loves them, that he's called them, but they've rejected him, okay? And so Hosea is a prophet who's trying to call the children of Israel and say, look, hey, God's reached out his hand. God loves you. And here's what God does in this book, okay? God does something crazy to express what he feels towards the Israelites. He calls Hosea and he says, Hosea, I want you to go marry a prostitute. A prostitute who's an acting prostitute, not like she was before. Like, I want you to go marry an acting prostitute, okay? And I want you to marry her, and I want you to be faithful to her, even though she is not going to be faithful to you. Okay, she's going to continue to be a prostitute and do her thing, but I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to remain faithful to Israel, okay? That's the picture that I want you to do. I want you to marry her. She's going to be unfaithful, and that's going to show the Israelites that that's exactly the way that they're treating me. They're out there, they're worshiping false gods, they're being like a prostitute, they're going after their own thing, but I, God, am here, and I'm being faithful. So this isn't the only place that this happens, but I just wanted to bring this one up because I think it's quite cool that God uses marriage. This is our next principle. The covenant of marriage is a spiritual picture of the way that God relates to his people. Marriage is a spiritual picture of the way that God relates to his people. So marriage is far bigger, and it's far more than simply a guy and a girl liking each other and saying, hey, let's get married and have babies. No, it's more than that, okay? There's a covenant that happens. It's a spiritual thing. There's a spiritual aspect to it. Okay, then we get through the Old Testament. We hit the New Testament. And we're given in the New Testament more practical instruction, okay, a little bit more practical instruction on relationships. And actually, husbands and wives are spoken to directly. And so in Ephesians, Colossians, Titus, we're told that husbands and wives should lovingly submit to one another. We're told very clearly that God still has boundaries for sex. And in 1 Corinthians and in other books, God specifically talks about sexual immorality, what's proper, what's not proper. It talks about adultery. It talks about fornication. It talks about all that kind of stuff. He talks about how promiscuity in your life is punishable. And we see marriage, again, used as an illustration in the book of Revelation. It talks about, that's where we get the term the bride of Christ, okay? It talks about the church being like a bride, and Jesus is like the bridegroom. And so we get this picture again. And so in the New Testament, it's really just kind of a summary of all that we kind of learned in the Old Testament. Marriage is still of God. Marriage and relationships still have boundaries. And relationships are a spiritual, and marriage is a spiritual picture. That's what we get from the New Testament. Marriage is a spiritual picture. Oh, sorry, next slide. If there is a next slide. Maybe there's not. Oh, not that one. We'll bring that one up later. So, Genesis all the way through Revelation. That's just a quick overview of just some basic principles about relationships. Does the Bible ever cover every aspect and detail of every scenario when it comes to how you relate to a guy or a girl? No, it does not. But the Bible gives us the basics of what we need. It gives us overview. It gives us big picture things so that we can make good decision. Now, here's what I want to talk about. And this is probably the biggest point that I want you to take away from today, and I'll try to explain it as clearly as I can. When you go through the Bible, okay, and you get bigger ideas, you get big principles like we just went over. God has boundaries for relationships. God's hand is in relationships, okay? God created relationships. He likes them. They're good. All these things are very good for us to understand. They're good for us to hear. But there's an overarching big idea about relationships that I want you to write down that is really, really critical for where we're going to go for the next 4 weeks. And it's this idea. Relationships are not intended to make you happy. That's the primary purpose. Let me say that. The primary purpose of relationships is not to make you happy. Okay, it's not to make you happy. When we think of relationships, oftentimes, all we think about is that, man, if I just had a boyfriend or if I just had a girlfriend, I'd be fulfilled. I'd be happy. I'd be complete. I'd feel good about myself. Man, it'd be so fun to have somebody that I can, like, ooh, hold hands with, or it'd be fun to have somebody that I can, you know, talk to on the phone or whatever. It's fun. It's happy. It makes me feel good. Oftentimes, that's how we approach relationships. Relationships are to make me feel good. They're to make me feel happy. They're to make me, you know, feel like I've got something going on. But that's not the primary purpose of relationships at all. Primary purpose of relationships is not to make you happy. It's intended to make you holy. Relationships are not intended to make you happy. They're intended to make you holy. Write that down, and I just want to sit in that statement for like 10 seconds. Relationships, not intended to make you happy. They're intended to make you holy. When you get a hold of that concept, and that actually goes down inside of you, and you wrestle with that for a little bit, somewhat changes the way that you have to look at how you approach this whole thing, okay? Because what does that look like practically? What does that look like practically? Well, practically, that means this. If you're in a relationship in high school, then that relationship should be moving you more towards a holy life. The two of you together, whether it's, you know, in a courting kind of thing or a dating kind of thing or whatever, it should be moving you to a more holy life. What does that mean even more practically? Well, that means that by being in that relationship, that you should be growing in your patience. You should be growing in kindness. You should be growing in purity. You should be practicing purity. You should be practicing and learning self-control. Okay? Being in that relationship should be helping you like learn how to deal with conflict and how to, you know, deal with that kind of thing, how to reconcile. And if that's the case in your relationship, then that's a good thing. That's healthy. It's moving you more towards a holy life. Are you going to have mistakes and issues? Of course. Are you going to have a fight every now and then? Yes. But I'm talking in general, the relationships that you're in with guys, with girls, should be moving you more towards a holy life. You should be becoming a better person because you're with that person. Okay? But if the relationship is not doing that, if it's moving you towards impurity, if it's moving you towards compromise, if it's moving you towards unhealthy conflict, okay? If it's making you not be who you actually are, let me rephrase that. Sometimes, I know this is kind of strange, but sometimes when a guy gets with a girl or a girl gets with a guy, all of a sudden their personality of who they really are starts to change. They become a completely different person, either to impress that person or whatever. If that's happening, that's not moving you towards a more holy life. That's making you become somebody that you're not supposed to be, that God didn't design you for. So all these things move you away towards a holy life. So the primary purpose of your relationships is to come closer to Christ, okay? I heard a great, great picture of this one time, that if you're a couple, I can't do it with my hands. If you're a couple and you're doing this and you're just focused on one another and you're focused on happiness and having you know, my self fulfilled and my happiness fulfilled, it's like you're looking inward and it's going to just crumble. But a healthy relationship is when both individuals are looking to God, and as they get closer to God, as they become more holy, they actually become closer and closer and closer. That's what we're all about. That's what a great relationship is about. It's not intended to make you happy. It's intended to make you holy. Now, does that mean that there won't be happiness? Of course not. Relationships are fun. They're happy, but it can be hard. It's hard as well. Okay? Does it mean that if you're not in a relationship that you're somehow less than, or that somehow you can't be made holy? Absolutely, absolutely not. I do not believe that I have all the answers for you guys when it comes to relationships. I definitely don't. I've made many, many mistakes in my time when it comes to that kind of a thing. But my hope is that I can use some of my experience to help you out as well. And I also believe this, even though the Bible gives us bigger principles, not specific things, here's what I think. I honestly believe this, that between the Bible, between experience from fellow Christians, and between the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that with those, like that triune kind of thing, that between all of that, you can have the tools that you need. You can have the wisdom that you need in order to pursue a great relationship and to put things in your life and to change your mind in such a way that you can pursue relationships in a way that's God-honoring and in a way that blesses you and is going to set you up for great success in your life. So in this series, guys, we're calling you to a higher level in this area. We're calling you to a higher level because the standard in culture is pretty low. It's a pretty low standard. But the standard that we're going to set in here for relationships is going to be much higher. It's going to be a much higher standard to come to. And we're going to call you and challenge you to a new paradigm in this area. We're going to challenge you to think in this way that a relationship is not designed to make you happy and to make you feel good. That's not the primary purpose. That the primary purpose is actually to make you more like Christ and to actually grow you to be more holy. So as we get into this, there's two things I want you to commit to, all right, that I'm going to ask you to commit to. You don't have to raise your hand to do it. I just want you to do it inside. And I hope that you would, if you make the commitment, that you'd stick to it, all right? Here's the two things. First off, I said this last week, come to as many of these as you possibly can. Come to as many of these series as you can. If you have to miss a week, that's okay. We're recording all of them, and we'll have them up on a podcast somewhere. But if you can, come to every one of these. Just make a commitment. I'm going to be there for every week so I can learn about this stuff. Number two, if you're not in a relationship already, don't start one until after this series, okay? If you're already in one, wonderful. Tell your significant other to come and join you for this. You guys could use it, promise you. But if you're not in a relationship, just like put the brakes on and hold off, okay? That guy or that girl, they'll still be around. And maybe after you go through these 5 weeks, you're going to learn some stuff that'll really help you make an even better decision when it comes to this subject. So, big idea today, you guys. God established relationships. He likes them. He's for you in relationships. But relationships, they're not intended to make you happy. They're not, the primary purpose is not to make you feel good. It's to grow you in holiness.